Acts chapter 12. We're going to read together from verse 20. As you turn there, let me just give you the background to what precedes this passage. You remember that Herod first killed James, the brother of John, with a sword in the first part of this chapter. And then in the second part of this chapter, he put Peter in prison. And the Lord, by an angel, rescued Peter from prison. Now we come to this passage in verse 20. Now Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and they came to him with one accord, and having persuaded Blastus, the king's chamberlain, they asked for peace, because their country depended on the king's country for food. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a god, and not of a man." Immediately an angel of the Lord struck him down, because he did not give God the glory, and he was eaten by worms and breathed his last. But the word of God increased and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had completed their service, bringing with them John, whose other name was Mark. This chapter consists of three parts. The key text to this chapter, if you want to understand chapter 12 of the book of Acts, you have to immediately grab a hold of what is undoubtedly the key statement in the whole chapter. The key statement in the whole chapter is found in verse 23. The middle part of verse 23, it is this statement. He, that's Herod, did not give God the glory. He did not give God the glory. That is the key fact of this whole chapter. You will not understand the chapter if you don't read the whole chapter in the light of that statement. The whole problem in the 12th chapter of Acts is that Herod did not give God the glory. In fact, that is the key to understanding any problem that we may have in a church, in a family, in an individual life, in a country. The main reason, the fundamental reason why there is brokenness and suffering and problems in this world is somewhere there is someone who is not giving God the glory. Somebody, somewhere, somehow, for some reason, is trying to usurp God's glory. When people play God, it has devastating consequences. And the problem in this chapter that led to the death of James and the imprisonment of Peter and eventually to the death of Herod is that Herod sought to usurp God's glory. You will see in this chapter very similar things to what you see in the third chapter of Genesis. When the devil, who had already tried to usurp God's glory and was tossed out of heaven for that, was now in the Garden of Eden seeking to again teach Adam and Eve how to usurp God's glory. He was trying to teach them, you mustn't give God the glory and do what he says and bow down to him. Do what I tell you and you will be as gods. Do you remember that? You will be gods. And this is the root cause of all sin, is when people play God, when the desire to be God rises up in you. That's when all your problems start. the problem may have other practical effects and manifestations, but the fundamental reason why people sin is because, to a greater or lesser extent, or in some shape or form, they have decided, no, I'm not going to let God be God in this thing. I'm going to be God. Does that make sense to you? That's when the problem starts. And this was the problem with Herod. Now, you see in this chapter, the three parts that we see happen, the three things that go wrong when people try to be God. They try to oppose God's power, to usurp God's glory, and to silence God's word. That's the progression or the regression that we saw in Satan as well, in Lucifer. First, he wanted to usurp God's glory. But in order to usurp God's glory, he had to oppose God's power. Or he opposed God's power first because he wanted to usurp God's glory. And then he contradicted God's word. And the book of Genesis, the fall starts where he contradicted God's word. Did God really say? And we see here also, he opposed God's power by killing James and putting Peter in prison. Well, we saw how he failed with that. His persecutions. There was a ferocious abuse of personal power on his part in verse 2. And there was what I call the foul art of people pleasing in verse 3. When he saw that it pleased the Jews. You see, people who play God, they're always exerting power and they're always trying to please people. I must get the people to be pleased with what I do. Look at the American elections now. Everybody's trying to get the people to, well, that's not entirely true. I don't see Trump trying to get the people to like him. But the other candidates, the people must like me. Look at me. I want you to be pleased with me. Do you see it? Look at our elections that just went now. Everybody was trying to please the people. So the ferocious abuse of personal power, the foul art of people pleasing, those are the two things that people who play God use. And they use it to do this. To oppose God's power, to usurp God's glory, to contradict God's word. And why do they do that? They do that to take two things from people. Two things that God gives people, they take away from people. Life and liberty. Life and liberty. They want to take people who play God, whether they're politicians, preachers, fathers or mothers or children or whoever who play God, do that so that they can take from you your life and your liberty. He took James's life and Peter's liberty. But we saw what God did. Then we see the church prayed, and then we saw God's power. We saw God unleashed heaven and an angel came down. Heaven came close. Heaven brought glory. Heaven brought help and guidance. Heaven broke the chains. Heaven led the way. Heaven brought freedom. Heaven restored fellowship. That's what we saw. And we looked at that last week. Now today, that's how God responded to Herod's attempt to oppose God's power. Now today, we will see Herod, now having been defeated in his attempt to oppose God's power, he now seeks to usurp God's glory. And once again, it starts with this. Notice, first of all, a violent king's anger against the people. A violent king's anger against the people. Now here, this is the problem with people who play God. They're always angry at other people. Have you noticed that? God players are always angry at other people. They always find a reason to be upset, and dissatisfied and irritated and angry at other people. And it's how this text starts. It starts with Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. Now remember, I said to you earlier on, he did that because he did not give God the glory. Everything he did was because he didn't give God the glory. Now before we look further, we need to just consider a little bit this morning. What is God's glory? When the Bible says that Herod did not give God the glory, what does that mean? What is God's glory and how do people give it to God? We talk about God's glory, but it's a very vague concept with most people. I want to tell you it's impossible to define God's glory. I mean, the Bible tells us, our confession tells us, his essence cannot be understood by any but himself. But when we begin to talk about God's glory, we start thinking of things in himself and things that he feels and just the way he is. His substance is in and of himself. He's infinite in being and perfection. He's absolutely pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passions. He doesn't have to go dress up like Herod to look like he's somebody. He is somebody in himself. He has immortality, living in light which no one can approach. Immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty in every way, infinite, perfectly holy, perfectly wise, absolutely free, completely absolute, perfectly loving. Now listen to this. Perfectly loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity. And this is the difference between him and Herod. Now, when the Bible says that we need to give God glory, it means that we acknowledge these things about God. And we live our lives in accordance with it. And we don't try to take that and stick it on ourselves. We leave it where it belongs, with God. John Piper gave a very humble attempt at a definition of God's glory. He says, the glory of God is the infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. Listen to that again. The infinite beauty and greatness of God's manifold perfections. That's his glory. And Herod did not give that to God. And that is why God treats people differently to people who are playing God. The only living God treats people differently to people who are playing God. Herod did nothing to show the people mercy. He did nothing to show James mercy, to show Peter mercy. If he saw that it pleased people, if he killed James, he would put Peter in prison. He's so different. Herod drew everything to himself, wanting the people's praises. God gives himself. God created us. God redeems us because he's the giving God. His glory benefits people. But when a man wants glory, his attempt at wanting that glory sucks people dry. You see the difference? God's glory gives. Man's glory just gains and grabs. And that's the difference. And this is why we see a violent king's anger against the people. It's because he didn't give God the glory. He wanted the glory. So he had some reason why he was now angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. I don't want to give you a history lesson. But the names Tyre and Sidon were famous in the ancient Near East. They're also important cities in the Old and New Testament. Ezekiel has a lot to say about them in chapter 24 of his prophecy. Both of them are today still located in Lebanon. Tyre is about 20 miles in the Mile language south of Sidon and only 12 miles north of the Israel-Lebanon border. So it's not far from Israel. And today, each one of them is just a shadow of their former selves. And according to this passage, Herod was displeased with his people. And apparently he forbade the export of food to them. And because they were dependent on delivery from Judea, and Judea was affected by famine, the people of Tyre and Sidon, they made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, or his chief body servant. They made him their friend, probably through bribery. But that's who Tyre and Sidon was. We don't know why Herod was angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but let me tell you something about people who play in God, who don't give the glory to God. It doesn't take much to make them angry. All you need to do to get a God player really, really mad at you is nothing. Just wake up in the morning. They'll find a reason as the day progresses to be really mad at you. This is the problem with God players. This is the problem with narcissistic, puff-me people. They find a reason to be angry with people. Then they seek to usurp God's glory. Now notice, we see this vice. He's a chamberlain. Say, oh, you know, we've really made him angry now. We'd better grovel before him. How do we get an audience with him? Let's get old Blastus to talk to him, to listen to us. See, that's what God players do, don't they? They're always getting the people to grovel before them, to snug up to them, to find some way to come and say, oh, please, don't be so angry with me. And remember what I told you last week, beloved. Do you remember what I told you? We can become very mad at Herod and say, oh, he's a horrible guy. We have this in us. You and I. This thing of Herod's to want to play God and not give God the glory. You and I have it in us. Or at least the people in the church down the road have it in them. Do you know what I'm talking about? I know what I'm talking about here. We do that. This is why I fight celebrityism. This is why I stay so close to these three elders and other brothers. I don't send an email without talking to them. The danger of wanting to play God and control people is a very prevalent danger. It's a real danger. And it's in every one of us. You have the potential to this. To want to play God. How often do you get angry at other people? You know, it's significant that the Bible doesn't tell us what the reason is why Herod was angry with the people. Because the Lord just wants to make us aware of the fact, oh, he's angry again. Doesn't even give us the reason. Because God players don't need reasons other than, oh, they didn't fall down before me and worship me. They didn't give me what I wanted. They didn't adopt my perspective. They contradicted my point of view. So I'm angry. I'm out of here. It's playing God. This is a violent king's anger against the people. And now he got them to get old Blastus to help them grovel. Notice secondly, We've seen the violent king's anger against the people. Notice the vulnerable people's asking for peace. Now the poor people, they start getting angry because they got little kids. They got wives and husbands and probably old folks to take care of. Probably got some pets. Need to get to work. They need to put some water in the camel. And this guy is now angry at them. And they don't have what they need. They can't feed the children. Because this God man is angry. Their kids can't eat. Looking them in the eye. And now they've got to grovel before him. They're very vulnerable. See how vulnerable they are? Look at the text. They came to him with one accord. They said, we must all go. We must all get together and speak to him. Let's get old Blastus to speak on our behalf, just to calm him down a little bit. So his makeup doesn't peel off when we get there. Let's go ask for peace. They want peace. Because what will the peace give them? The peace will give them food for their children. The peace will help them to be able to pay their way, get the medicines they need, get the transport they need. People with needs like you and I. So he gets the people to grovel before him. And so, notice how he responds. You know what God does? When you and I realize that we've made him angry, and we come to him and we say, we don't need to go get someone else. You go and you say, Father, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know what the Lord does? It's fine. I forgive you. I bless you. I love you. Sent my son to the cross for you. God loves a contrite heart. He never breaks a snapped reed. He never puts out a smoking flax. That's the real God. We're not the God player. Look at him. Notice next. The vain king's attempt to take God's place. In verse 21. On an appointed day, Herod put on his royal robes, took his seat upon the throne, and delivered an oration to them. What a braggart. But you know, God players do this. God players take about 6 hours just to get ready for the day in the morning. It's 3 showers and 2 exfoliatings, 1 hour of clipping no toenails. But the rest of the day is actually just that. It never stops. The makeup, the dress up never stops. It continues all day. All God players do is dress up to look pretty so people can clap all day. Does that sound familiar? God doesn't have to do that. He's all glorious in himself. God doesn't have to go put on his royal robes and, let me see. He doesn't have to dress up to impress people. I once heard a Negro friend in the South of America, he said, God is all dressed up and everywhere to go, with everywhere to go. God don't have to dress up. He's glorious. And when people come to him and they say, "We're so sorry for making you angry, Father," he stoops. "It's fine. I love a contrite heart. Hey, snapped reed, I won't break you. Smoking flax, I won't put you out." But not Herod. Oh, he has to dress up and go sit on his throne and deliver an oration. It's not even a speech, it's an oration. Big mouth. Big mouth. Blah, blah, blah. Now notice next the people's accolades and praises. And the people were shouting, "The voice of a God and not of a man." I wonder if they were sincere in that. You think they were just puffing him? I think they were just puffing him, don't you think? "The voice of a God and not of a man." Now at that point, he should have done something. He should have said to the people, "I'm glad we're friends again." Maybe he had a reason to be angry. I don't know. But let's say he did. At that point, he should have said, "I'm so glad we can talk peace again. Go home, feed your children. Be blessed. Let's just get on and live together on this planet and glorify God, who made me a king and able to bless you. To him be all the glory. Let's try not to get in one another's hair again." A good king would have just sent old Blastus, tell them, "Hey, it's okay, man. The food's on its way. Tell them not to mess up again. Let's do better next time." Because that's how our God is, isn't it? That's what makes him so glorious. But not Herod. At that point, he should have said what Peter and them did when the people fell down in front of them and wanted to worship them. He said, "No, don't worship me. I'm just a man. I'm just a man like you. Don't worship me." Oh, no, he didn't stop them. It's implied in the text. He didn't give God the glory. He didn't stop them and say to them, "Listen, the fact that we're talking to one another now, that we are making peace and getting on together, is all because there is a God in heaven." He should have known that. He loved the Jewish faith. The Jews loved him and he loved the Jews. He should have said, no, everything's fine. But no, he attaches the glory to himself. Now notice the Lord's angel's prompt intervention. Let me tell you something. You need to learn from this. You and I need to learn from this. You try to usurp God's glory, there'll be a prompt, an immediate intervention from heaven. Immediately, an angel of the Lord. Because God will not give his glory to another. It was an immediate intervention. And notice the king's agonizing pain and death struck him down because he did not give God the glory. Many people struggle with the next clause in the sentence, "And he was eaten by worms and breathed his last." Now, most of the time, you die first, then the worms eat you. This guy got eaten by worms, and then he died. It was the other way around. There's a point to this. If you play God and you seek to rule over people and to usurp God's glory, if you want to bully the crown of God's creation, the highest creature He made, He will have you eaten by the lowest creature He made. That's the point. You try to lord it over people, you get eaten by worms. There's a point to this. The worm is a kind of a metaphor for a low being. Like the prophets who say, I'm a worm. I had a lady in my first congregation who told me, oh, you know, I'm going to another church. I don't like all this worm theology that you preach. She wanted me to preach that, oh, we are the cat's whiskers theology. Jesus died on the cross for us because we're so cute. How many of you knew that? As the Americans would say, not. Died for us on the cross because He is so glorious. But that's the worm theology. The worm is a metaphor for a very low person, a very low being. And you try to lord it over God, the crown of God's creation, humanity. You get eaten by worms. So listen here. So there we are. That's what happened to the king who tried to usurp God's glory. We learn that God's glory cannot be usurped. You cannot pretend to be somebody of infinite beauty and greatness in all your manifold perfections just because you have a fancy cloak and a throne that somebody nailed together for you. You can't. That's God's place. It's no man's place. It's no woman's place. And what we do when we do that is other people suffer. Because we're angry at them all the time. And we're abusing the power that God gave us in order to indulge in people pleasing so that they can clap. Always trying to turn the rest of the world into our fan club. Have you noticed that's what people do? We live in a world of celebrityism. There was a time when the world had heroes. Real heroes. Like Robert E. Lee. Like Martin Luther. Like Jonathan Edwards. Like John Wesley. It was a time when we had heroes who glorified God. Now we have celebrities who play God and who seek to turn the whole world into their fan club and Facebook friends, of which they have more than anyone else. Usurping His glory. How different is the law? When we made Him angry, where did His anger take Him? Herod's anger took Him immediately to a dress up on a throne. God's anger took Him to a cross. That's where His anger took Him. He didn't say, withhold from them all the good things. Give them my best thing. Give them my son. I'm angry with them. He'll be nailed to a cross. I'll pour out my anger upon Him so I don't have to pour it out on them. So that they can live. so that they can have life and have it more abundantly. That's the difference between the glory of our God and the glory of a man. Can you see it, beloved? And so, we don't grovel before people. No, Putin, we're not going to grovel before you. No, Trump, we're not going to grovel before you. And especially not in front of Hillary Clinton. And Julius Malema. You need some more names. We don't bow to people. We bow to God. To His glory. Because when He gets angry, it takes Him to a cross. And then it takes Him to a throne. And that's the throne before which we bow via that cross. You get the picture, beloved? Don't try to get other people to worship you. Don't get so mad at people so soon, so easily, for so little reason. Don't do it. You're not God. I'm not God. We people. Don't get up, dressed up, and go sit on a throne when all they want from you is some peace and something to eat. That's not to give God the glory. We are people, all of us. We are not God. He's God. We bow before Him. We give Him all the glory. Let's pray together. Thank You for Your glory, Lord. We are reminded of Your wonderful words this morning. Your substance in and of Yourself. Your infinite in being and perfection. Your essence cannot be understood by anyone but Yourself. Absolutely pure spirit, invisible, without body parts or passion. Who alone has immortality, living in light which no one can approach. Our immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, in every way, infinite, perfectly holy, perfectly wise, absolutely free, completely absolute God, who works all things according to the counsel of His own immutable and entirely righteous will for His own glory. Our perfectly loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, God who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin, and who rewards those who diligently seek Him. We seek You this morning. We seek Your glory. We seek to worship before You and not to worship or be worshipped by any man. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing together, Before the Throne of God Above, hymn 503. dearly beloved in Christ, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen.